Dear brothers and sisters, everyone desires happiness and to live a life without tears, sadness, worries, or illnesses. Is there anyone in the world who really lives so? However, those who believe in God can always live a joyful and happy life. As our Father is the Almighty God, He will give us whatever we ask for if we live as He desires. Through today's message, I hope you will realize the kind of image that God desires from us and enjoy God's blessings to your heart's content. Brothers and sisters, today, let's look at the pioneers of faith who are acknowledged and blessed by God and always received answers. Through these biblical characters, we will know the kind of image God desires in us. First, they were prayerful people, people who received God's love and blessing, and whom God was with, prayed with all their hearts and manifested great works. Figure out how you should pray. For example, what was Jacob's prayer in Genesis 32 like? Jacob had stolen his older brother Esau's birthright and deceived his father into giving him the blessing of the firstborn. He evaded all this by living in his uncle Laban's house for 20 years. Jacob, who worked diligently, took wives, had children, and built up possessions, was ready to return to his homeland. But he found himself in an extremely difficult situation at Jabbok River. He had a lot of possessions. He wanted to separate from his uncle Laban. Uncle Laban and his sons were vigilant against him because Jacob had abundant possessions. They were his cousins. What did his cousins say? Jacob is taking away my father's possessions. They were harboring ill feelings, and Jacob noticed that. Also, Laban deceived Jacob a lot of times. That's why after Jacob had a lot of possessions, he departed from his uncle Laban's household and he was leaving for his hometown. And at the Jabbok River, he encountered a big crisis. It was across the river was Esau, who waited with 400 men to capture him. Jacob was stuck between. His brother was not welcoming to he. If he was Esau was welcoming him, he didn't have to take 400 men. But why did he take 400 men? Because Esau wanted to retaliate because Jacob took away his birthright by deceiving his father. He took away the blessing from God. Esau was burning with the desire to retaliate. That's why he was coming with 400 men, and Jacob heard that. Jacob could not go forward. He was not alone. He was with his wife, he was with the children, and he was with a lot of cattle, animals, and possessions. And in the back, he could not go back because Uncle Laban was and his Uncle Laban was behind, and he had resentment against him. That's why he couldn't go back. Jacob, who was in a desperate situation and unable to find a solution with his own hands, finally reflected upon his arrogance and ego that hadn't been shattered yet. He relied on God during the 20 years, and he prayed to God during those years, but he didn't shatter himself completely. He still had a fleshly thought. That's why he experienced that work by which his fleshly thoughts were shattered. We also have such moments. If we love if he loved the world, you face a lot of such situation. There are things that cannot be solved by man's capabilities. That's why Christians come before God, and after they earnestly hang on to God, God, Father God, resolves their problems, and they pray and work for God diligently. But again, they go back to the world, and they meet big difficulties, and they come back to God. That's why they stagnate in faith. They cannot achieve rapid spiritual growth. Mammy members should not lead a Christian life like that. You don't common sense, you don't love the world. But when you face some big trouble, because we are living in this first heaven, as we get older, there are signs of aging, many problems arise. Just as old machines have a lot of problems, our elderly members may have problems. Physical, they also have a time to look back on themselves, like Jacob. They think, even though I didn't commit great sin, but I had ill feelings, Father God does not like detest sins. Even though I didn't commit great sins, I still have such sinful natures in heart, and they thoroughly repent, and Father God restores them, heals them, and they rejuvenate, and they achieve a big growth of faith, and they again keep running vigorously according to each person's situation and faith. He may have faced big problems that cannot be solved by their own, but if they lay down themselves completely like Jacob, they can have an opportunity to receive answers from God. Jacob realized all problems would be solved once he left everything in God's hands and moved God's heart. Jacob prayed intensely and wrestled to the point of his hip joint being broken before receiving answers from God. He was wrestling with an angel, the Bible describes. If we apply the message in ourselves, he finally received answers from God. After he received the answer, Father God worked and Father God intervened. All his difficulties were gone, like nothing had happened. God changed Esau's heart so that 20 years of hatred melted away. He was coming with a desire to retaliate. But as he united with his brother Jacob, his 20 years of hatred melted away. They miraculously reconciled with tears of joy. You may consider this as just an incident, but this is a miracle. This couldn't happen by man's capability. Father God intervened, and impossible things became possible, and his hatred was gone and melted away. Whatever problem you may face, whatever problem that you cannot solve, if you move God's heart, if you offer a prayer that moves God's heart, then in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Prophet Elijah's fervent prayer from the heart brought down the answer of fire and greatly glorified God. During King Ahab's reign, when idolatry was rampant, Elijah single-handedly contended with 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, whom the Israelites worshipped. On Mount Carmel, they were to make an altar and pray to their gods. They agreed that the one who would answer with fire would be the true God. The Baal and prophets of Baal and Asherah was asking their gods to give them fire. They cried out for fire for all day long, but no fire came down. And they even slashed themselves, but there was no answer. It was a battle between the light and darkness, which there were no match for God. Father God was when God was, once God comes upon, comes, the light, the darkness goes away. The Baals and Asherah's prophets, even though they cried all day long, even though they earnestly asked for fire, they didn't receive an answer. As God heard Elijah's prayer and answered with fire, the idol-worshipping Israelites were able to turn back their hearts and repent. The secret to receiving the answer of a big rain amidst a 3.5-year drought was Elijah's prayer. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42 writes, Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down, It's not difficult. It's not easy even to kneel down on the floor in prayer. But Elijah was on the mountain and he was kneeling down on the ground with a rocky ground. He earnestly prayed and he put his face between his knees. He was kneeling down and his face went between his knees. This suggests Elijah prayed so intensely that his intestines twisted. Let's say you exercise so hard, you run so hard, and you feel your gut hurts, your abdomen hurts. And then you bend over naturally, and Elijah prayed so intensely, he strained himself so much that his intestines twisted and his face automatically went between his knees. How can God not be moved by such intense prayer from the heart and give his answer? Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 36 and 37 says, I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. God says, even though God has spoken that He will do, we have to hold on to His word and ask and pray. Only then will God give us. Even if God had promised Elijah to send rain, the rain may not have come if Elijah had not believed nor asked. It's vital to realize the importance of deep prayer from the heart. Brothers and sisters, prayer is a channel of communication between God and His children, which has to continue without ceasing. God is Spirit. God is up there in heaven. He's our Father. How could we come in contact Him? Nowadays, we have cell phones. There are means of communication among people. You can call even those people overseas. You can also video chat with them. Without that, you cannot see their face. But nowadays, there are means of communication, so we can video chat, FaceTime, and hear their voices. But what about with God? There are no physical means of communication, but there is a channel of dialogue with God. It is prayer. We have to make use of the prayer. But even though you have cell phones, if you don't know the phone number, you cannot contact another person. You have an emergency and you have to ask for help and you need someone's help. But without knowing her phone number, how could you reach out to her and ask for her help? It's important that we keep that line of communication with God. God is Spirit, and it's like we are knowing the phone number of God. If we live out the truth, if we keep His righteousness, then that serves as a line of communication with God. And figuratively, we know His phone number. Even if we know the phone number, you have to check how earnestly you're praying, and you have to
통로가 열려 있어서도 막히느냐? 이 남북 관계를 보니까
And between the South and North Koreas, there was a hot line between the North and Korea. Because North Korea cut off the line, the communication has been cut off. It's like Father God, there's also a line of communication between God and us. But if we don't live in the light and righteousness, the line is cut off. Even though we try to call out to Him, it is not delivered. We have to keep intimate relationship with God through prayer. Families should be interacting with love and find rest, but many have stopped due to excuses like fatigue or lack of time. Gradually, love and trust disappear, and sometimes you find children going astray. Less or no communication between people can lead to problematic situations. Then, how much more frustrated and distressed we would feel if our communication with God has been cut off, as God deals with the issues of our spirit, as the Almighty Father always lends an ear to us and gives us answers, and there is nothing we cannot say to Him as His children. For believers, prayers serves to knock on and open the heart of the Almighty God. It's like a door of blessings through which they can make anything possible and receive from God abundantly. Many church members have experienced a change in their lives, receiving solutions to various life's problems, healing and amazing works through prayer. David, who was extremely loved by God, always asked and let God make the decisions for important issues. For example, whatever problem he had, he always asked and let God make the decisions. When you pray always, when you encounter a problem, you get to ask God and ask for His help. Let's say you have a big problem like Jacob had. But David, even though such trivial matters, even though the things that he could solve by himself, he asked God and let God do the decision. For example, First Samuel, the Bible says, then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." You think the normal response to an enemy invasion would be to counterattack straight away. But David completely believed and trusted God. David also wanted to help out. But he didn't go. But before going, he asked God what to do. Because David completely believed and trusted in God. David, he asked God again and again and did accordingly. And also, I hope for you to apply this in your life. No matter how critical the situation, he asked first before doing something. David trusted God in all affairs, so God always accompanied and worked for him. When we also pray and act according to God's will, all things can prosper. If you decide of your own accord, you won't be able to receive God's help. Doing it your way, with your own abilities, can lead to many difficulties and negative impacts. Some believers say they leave all things to God in prayer, but pray according to their own thoughts, and they act according to their desires. When things go wrong, they complain that they prayed without ceasing, but God didn't answer. It's important to understand that they acted by their will and according to their own will and abilities. That's why God was not able to help. In whatever we do, we must do according to God's will and not our own thoughts or will. If you don't apply fleshly thoughts, but obey God's will, receiving inspiration from the Holy Spirit through prayer, you'll be able to receive guidance with prosperity. Like David, you may, like David asked everything about God. Some people may wonder, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and you have the truth. Whatever, whatever task you may face, you can think about the truth, what is right according to the truth. That way, you are living a God-centered life. God-centered life. David received an answer right away. And he asked God and received an answer right away. But God, some of you may not receive a clear voice of the Holy Spirit, and you may confuse what to do. And you may not know what to do. If you,
and
this is how you rely on the Holy Spirit. If you have heard a lot of words of truth, you can discern things. And even though you, some of you may wonder, your fleshly, these thoughts are spiritual thoughts. You may also involve fleshly thoughts, and when you calculate this and that, and you will suffer, and you are afraid with the fleshly thoughts. And you have to discern between spiritual thoughts and fleshly thoughts, and you have to you discern which is the voice from God and voice of the Satan. You have to pray and receive an answer. But if you cannot clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you may feel frustrated, but as you pray, your soul prospers and everything goes well. You will be more than able to overcome the world and defeat the enemy, devil, and Satan. Thus, unless we pray, we cannot complain that God does not answer us. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, was able to accomplish everything according to God's will due to the power of prayer. Before starting his public ministry, Jesus prepared by fasting and praying for 40 days. Even during his public ministry, Jesus prayed whenever there was time, becoming a role model in prayer. Jesus, who could do anything, accomplished everything through prayer. Then, how would it be possible for us, as mere humans, to accomplish God's work if we don't pray? Dear brothers and sisters, we must keep in mind that those who loved God, walked with God, and brought down God's work were all prayerful people. Second, they were righteous people. We have to understand well about the righteousness. It's not about man's righteousness, but God's righteousness. It is righteousness in God's sight. What are those people who had righteousness in God's sight? The righteous in God's eyes did not curse when they were reviled. They didn't kill when there was a chance, and only followed the truth. They humbled themselves and walked in line with goodness and truth. A key example is David, who was almost killed several times by King Saul, who chased him out of jealousy. But when David got the chance to kill Saul, he did not do him any harm. He was unable to kill the king whom God had anointed. Rather, David stopped his man trying to kill Saul and only cut off the hem of his clothes to show his good intentions. David was such a good person that he was hurt simply by the cutting of the hem. When the news of the king Saul's death came, David lamented and wrote a song for him. He fasted and cried with the people. That's why God exalted him, raised him, and he was pleased with him. What about Abraham? When Abraham's possessions increased due to God's blessing, he could no longer live with his nephew Lot. Though he was the elder, Abraham gave the first choice of good land to his nephew Lot. Abraham also had a heart of service and didn't seek his own benefit. He possessed a beautiful heart by which he didn't fight and only pursued peace. With his nephew Lot, who had chosen the good land, was taken captive, Abraham called out 318 trained men who were born in his household. He went to save Lot, risking his life. If you have a little bit of an ill feeling, you wouldn't go. But you would think, look what happened. He left me according to his benefit. He left me, his uncle, because he didn't give me the choice of land, but he chose his land according to his benefit, and he's in trouble now. He would, with ill feelings, we would think that we would never go out risking our own life to save him. There's no benefit. And Abraham also didn't seek any benefit. He only did that out of love, out of goodness. That's why, even though he yielded good land to Lot, he didn't have any ill feelings. He didn't have such goodness, such sacrifice, such yielding were acknowledged as good by God. Acts chapter 7 verses 59 and 60 shows Stephen being stoned to death but kneeling down before God to pray with love for those who stoned him, saying, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. It was righteousness that was pleasing to God. We have to strive for such righteousness. Then we receive His love. We receive His answer and blessings. Once we receive His love, whatever we pray can be answered. It's not difficult to receive His answer. David, these righteous pioneers received God's exceeding love. David was recognized as a man after God's own heart, and Abraham was even called the friend of God. God opened Stephen's spiritual eyes so that he could see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God's throne. If we become such righteous people with a heart that is, Deacon Stephen even manifested power, if we become such righteous people with a heart that is proper in God's sight, always seek the benefits of others, and love even our enemies, then there will be no problems that cannot be solved and no reason that we fail to receive blessings. Third, they faithfully and completely fulfilled the mission given by God. They completely fulfilled. They didn't just hold on to the duties. They completely fulfilled them and bore abundant fruits, thereby pleasing God and receiving compliments from God. Even when David was young, he risked his life to protect his father's flock entrusted to him. And during the Philistines' invasion of Israel, the Israelite army, who was being defeated by the Philistines, was afraid of the Philistine general named Goliath. No one dared to confront him. This was when David had come to the battlefield on an errand for his father and grasped the situation. David he saw a Gentile cursing God. David couldn't stand the Gentiles insulting God's army and told King Saul that he would deal with him. However, Saul tried to deter him as he was just a boy. He was not an adult. He was hesitant to send him to the battlefield. Then David said to Saul, Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued him from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And because he relied on God, he did that. Even as a shepherd boy, he was protecting his flock and he relied on him. It's not that David was a big, robust man. But he was not a big, he was just a boy. That's why Saul deterred him from going, tried to deter him from going. And because David relied on the God Almighty, he could defeat the lion. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. He also said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Professing his trust in God, David boldly faced Goliath with only 5 stones. He saw this faith, God saw this faith and was with him. The stone slung by David hit Goliath's forehead, right on the forehead, so that he fell on the spot, and Israel finally gained victory. Right on the forehead. This is a weak spot. And Goliath was covered with armor and everything, but his stone hit right on his forehead. I think in heaven we can see the video of that, and how moving it would that be. And Father God, we will see how Father God would work with the stone and have the stone hit right on his forehead, how God's power worked on the stone and made the stone hit exactly the Goliath's forehead and make him fall down on the spot. It would be so moving to watch that video in heaven. Like, also there are other videos of fire coming down via Elijah's prayer and how God worked, and we will also hear the angel's explanation. It would be narrated by the angel. Like David devoted his life to caring for his sheep and protecting them from danger, just like he loved his country and people, we also need to have sacrificial love to carry out God-given missions. Exodus chapter 32, verse 32 shows Moses praying to God for the forgiveness of the people's sins, even though his name had to be blotted out from the book of life. Essentially, Moses didn't spare his life at all for his people. He loved them to the end, devoting all his life to carry out his missions. Apostle Paul confessing, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the Almighty and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." He has such abounding love. While preaching the gospel diligently, Apostle Paul suffered persecution and countless hardships, including imprisonment, getting beaten with rods, and near-death incidences. as he considered the mission given by God to be more important than his own life, Apostle Paul did not feel burdened or scared at all. He was able to accomplish the missions with joy, happiness, and praise. How could our God not have been pleased with them? What about you? Especially, you share the gospel with all, try to make more efforts to share the gospel, and in addition to that, you have to grow your spiritual love in your heart. John chapter 19 verse 30 records, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." These are the words Jesus spoke before his death on the cross. Jesus came down to the earth and sacrificed himself to the point of death, kept the law of the Old Testament, and fulfilled the law with love. Jesus was able to confidently confess, "It is finished," as he completely fulfilled the will and providence which God intended for him to fulfill. The Lord desires us all to faithfully carry out the duties given to us and promised in Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. "Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life." It is crucial that we follow God's will, live by the word of truth, stay faithful with all our life, and completely fulfill the duties entrusted to us by God. As we carry out our duties, we may sometimes encounter difficulties, but Romans chapter 8 verse 18 tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." As we have hope, we can keep working passionately and faithfully with joy and gratitude. May we all confidently confess, like our Lord said, "It is finished," after we've completely fulfilled our God-given duties. I hope that you hold on to this, even though you have not committed sins and evil, but you may check your attitude or mindset in carrying out your duties. There are different levels of faithfulness, like Prophet Moses, like Deacon Stephen. They had such great love in fulfilling their duties. But even though you physically work for God, you may be lacking love. There's a big difference. You have to go into the deeper levels of faithfulness, and you have to also pray fervently so that you can enjoy His answers and blessings from God.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skin fully recover from burns. all burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.